Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 45, Perfect and Easy Roasted Chicken. Hey everybody, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of the show. I'm Roger, your host, and you know this is the show that helps home cooks everywhere grow their skills and confidence in the kitchen so they can start cooking up memories with family and friends. Well, I've got a ton to talk about today, and of course, I'm going to get to the whole roasted chicken thing in a little bit, but there's a few interesting items and information about a contest I want to get out of the way first. I also want to remind everybody, I don't know how you're downloading and listening to the show specifically, but I just want to remind you that it's available many different places. If you head over to my website at kitchencounterpodcast.com, you can find every single show listed there with an audio player that you can listen to. You can also find the show on iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio, to name just a few. And of course, wherever you consume your other quality podcasts, if it's through an app on your Android or smartphone of any sort, you can find me there. Of course, I'm also over on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast and Twitter at TKCpodcast. And you can always get in touch directly with me if you have any questions about a recipe or a cooking question or just want to drop a note to say hi. I'd really like to hear from you. You can email me at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. All right, so I mentioned a contest a second ago, so I don't want to keep everybody waiting. I want to get that right out of the way up front because this is kind of exciting. So my friends over at Spice Madam, at spicemadam.com, you've probably heard me talk about them before on the show. They're the monthly subscription spice box where they send you each month a box in the mail with different spices and recipes from different cuisines around the world. Really an awesome service, awesome product. And actually really awesome people because they have made something available to me to give away to you, my dear listener. In addition to these monthly subscription spice boxes, they also have available right now on their website something called a spice starter kit. Now, what this is isn't a monthly subscription or anything like that, but it's a box with five spices that they have in these beautiful glass bottles, beautiful labels. And they're very high quality spices, and they're calling it their spice starter kit. Now, on their website right now, they list the spices that come in this box as smoked paprika from Spain, curry powder from India, sumac from Morocco and Turkey, which, by the way, if you haven't heard me talk about sumac already, I was turned on to sumac. I had never had it before until I got it in one of the Spice Madam monthly boxes. And I have to tell you, if I haven't told you already, I think it's maybe my favorite new spice. I put it on all sorts of stuff. It's got this great kind of a tart, lemony, almost like a cranberry or a vinegar. It's really hard to explain, but it's just a very tart spice that goes great on some more bland foods. I love it on hard-boiled eggs and fried eggs, for example. It's amazing. Anyway, other spices in this box, lemongrass from Vietnam and Thailand, and a Greek herb blend from Greece, obviously. So you get this nice box with these beautiful spices in these nice reusable bottles. And I have one of these sets that I am going to be giving away here in the next couple of weeks. So here's what you do to enter. I want you to send me, either through email or on my Facebook page, your favorite food or cooking memories from holidays. Now that could be whatever holiday you choose from around this time of year. It could be Thanksgiving, it could be Christmas, it could be Hanukkah, it could be Kwanzaa, it could be whatever holiday around this time of year that you want to choose. And I want you to either send me an email to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com or go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast, and I want you to post or send me just a note about your favorite holiday memory. Now, a couple of things about this. It doesn't have to be really long or involved. It's just a couple sentences, or if you want to write out a longer note, that's fine too. But that's what you do to enter. And now I'm, in addition to entering you for a random drawing for this spice starter kit from Spice Madam, I'm also going to take whatever you send me, and I'm going to read them on an upcoming episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. So be sure to include your name, at least your first name, so I can properly acknowledge you on an upcoming show. But that's all you need to do. I just want you to send me one of your favorite memories. Could be from your childhood, could be a recent memory that has to do with food or cooking around the holidays. Again, send that to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com or post it to my Facebook page at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast. Now, a couple of stipulations here. We can only ship to folks in the United States. So I apologize if you're a listener out of the U.S., which I have several. I'm going to figure out something to do for you folks. But for right now, you can still send me your stories. I'd still love to have them. But we can only ship to folks in the U.S. And this is only going to be going until December 25th. So on December 26th, I will put everybody's name into a bucket from the folks that sent me an email, from the folks that posted on Facebook, and I'll choose one, and then I'll get in touch with you and get your address, and we'll get that spice starter kit shipped off to you. But that's how you enter, and I'm really, really looking forward to reading your entries and your stories about your favorite holiday memories, and I'm really also looking forward to sharing them on an upcoming show. So that is the contest. It's going to be a lot of fun. By the way, if you want to check out Spice Madam in general, just head over to spicemadam.com and you can see all of their products and subscriptions and just see a little bit more about them. They have a great Instagram page as well. Okay, moving right along. One other quick note before I jump into the chicken discussion I want to get to. I want to talk about one of my favorite nonprofits, at least in my local area, called the Portland Kitchen. And they just launched a couple of days ago, as I'm recording this, on December 10th, they launched a Kickstarter campaign to raise $5,000 for their program. Now, what their program is they take at-risk or low-income kids and they put them through an after-school culinary program. Now, this isn't like done by the culinary arts school or anything like that. This is by a dedicated organization called the Portland Kitchen, a great group of volunteers. I think they do their programs in a church basement, but they put on events. And what's really cool about this program, I think, is that these kids not only learn how to cook, but they pick up all these other great skills like self-confidence, public speaking, organizational skills, other social skills. They leave the program, if they make it through, with a letter of recommendation and a food handler's permit. So if they want to go to work in the food service industry, they've kind of got a step up in that direction. And they don't charge one red cent to any of the kids that go through the program, but it costs about $5,000 to send one kid through the program. So you can imagine they have a great need to do some fundraising. And one of the ways they're doing that is through a Kickstarter campaign. Now, if you're not familiar with Kickstarter, the way it works is they have a goal of $5,000. You pledge a certain amount of money, and you don't pay any of the money unless all of that $5,000 is raised. So as soon as somebody pledges the last dollar in that $5,000 or more, then everybody's obligated to pay whatever they've pledged. But if they only raise $4,800, nobody pays anything. But the other cool thing about Kickstarter is depending on how much you pledge, you get rewards if the project gets funded. So for example, I just ran over to the Kickstarter page, and that's at kickstarter.com, and just search for the Portland Kitchen. I'll also include a link in the show notes at kitchencounterpodcast.com/45. But for example, you can pledge a buck for as little as a dollar, and you get their undying gratitude, of course. It goes all the way up. Here's... if you pledge $25, you get a jar of specialty salt from Nikki USA Farms. If you pledge $50 or more, you get a ticket to their Teen Chef cook-off in the spring of 2016. It goes all the way up. I think there's different increments, and you get all the way up to like $500, $1,000. There's one reward available for $1,000 where they'll actually put together, cook, and bring a feast to you and five of your guests, like a private party, which sounds pretty cool. So, you know, if you want to support a great food-related cause, that's, you know, you should always support your food banks. You should always support the organizations that are helping people get fed. This is a little bit of a different kind of a food-related organization that helps out at-risk kids, which I just think is phenomenal. If you want to check out their website, just head over to theportlandkitchen.org. If nothing else, I just think it's kind of cool what they're doing, and you can learn a little bit more about their mission there. So that's my second item of business. So with those two things being out of the way, let's hop into the main topic, and that's the perfect roasted chicken. So why in the world am I talking about roasted chickens today? Well, there's a couple of reasons. If you recall a few episodes ago, if you haven't listened to it, I don't even remember what episode it was, but three or four episodes ago, I asked if you had a couple of minutes, if you would do me a giant favor and fill out a very short survey for me. And in fact, the survey is still live. You can find it over at kitchencounterpodcast.com/survey if you're interested. It's only three questions long. But I'm trying to find out more about my listeners and what it is they're after and how I can help them out more. And one of the themes that I'm seeing from the folks that have gone and filled out the survey is the theme of they want to cook good food for their family, but they don't have a lot of time to do it. So it's a couple of things. It's time and money, of course. And you know, we're busy, we're working during the week, most of us, and to come home and whip up a healthy from scratch meal is not always on the books for us, right? We don't have the time to do that. So I thought, you know, roasted chicken is one of those dishes that is really easy, really it is, despite what a lot of people on the internet would have you believe. I mean, if you search for how to roast a chicken, you'll find thousands probably of different methods to do it. And there's always fancy tips and tricks and, oh, this is how you do it so it doesn't get dry, or this is how you do it so it has the most flavor. And, you know, I think more often than not, they just, everybody tries to make it more complicated than it is. Roasted chicken, roasting a chicken, is about one of the easiest things you can do if you just follow a few steps, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. The thing about roasting a chicken is it's relatively inexpensive and it can feed a lot of people. Now, I've taken the shortcut many a time, my wife and I have, where we will stop by at the store on the way home and we'll grab like a rotisserie chicken from the grocery store. You know, those chickens that come in the little box or the plastic bag that they've roasted up, I don't know, 50 at a time or whatever, slathered it with lemon pepper or barbecue sauce, and they sell it for, I don't know, $7 or $8. And those are decent in a pinch. But I'll tell you what, when you roast a chicken yourself at home, your chicken's probably going to taste just as good as that rotisserie chicken. It's going to cost a lot less than that rotisserie chicken. And it's actually probably going to end up being more food, because those rotisserie chickens that they sell at the grocery stores are pretty darn small. I mean, they don't feed a whole heck of a lot of people. In fact, I just bought a chicken the other day and roasted it, and I think the chicken was probably twice the size, and it wasn't a huge chicken of some of those rotisserie chickens you find in the store. So the thing about roasted chicken, again, it feeds a lot of people, and it sometimes makes more than one meal. So there's three people in my household, my wife, myself, and my almost four-year-old son. And a chicken for us could be a meal where we have a chicken and maybe potatoes and a vegetable one night. And then maybe another night we take the leftover chicken and we put it in a salad, or we put it in wraps, or we make tacos out of it, or whatever. The chicken goes a long way. And if you're really feeling ambitious, you know, after you're done carving up that chicken, you can take what's left, throw it in a pot with some water and some savory items and make a stock, and then you can make chicken soup. So, you know, roasting a chicken is really almost the pinnacle of economy and time saving, because say you roast it a Sunday afternoon, or maybe you could even roast a couple of chickens at a time and you feed your family with one of the chickens on Sunday, and then you've got a whole chicken you can use for chicken sandwiches for lunch or whatever for the rest of the week. So now when I talk about earlier, just a minute ago, when I talk about how you're always going to find these weird tips and tricks, I think that on the internet for roasted chicken, I think the biggest problem that people have with roasted chicken is they end up with kind of dry, flavorless chicken. And there's really one reason that happens, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But what you're going to find on the internet is people that tell you to start roasting your chicken upside down, you know, breast side down, and then after 20 minutes you flip it breast side up. Well, that's a total hassle. Who's going to do that? Some folks will tell you to brine the chicken, which you can do and it'll work great, but it's not necessary.
or maybe they require some sort of a special rack where you set the chicken upright, like a beer can chicken thing. But I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need to do any of that stuff. And you don't really need any specialized equipment, except the one thing I highly, highly recommend, and every episode I think I find myself recommending this, is a good digital meat thermometer. And preferably when you're doing things like roasting chicken or anything you're roasting in the oven that you need to get a temperature on, try to find one that has the connected probe. So you can put the probe into the chicken. It connects to this little meter that sits outside of the oven and it stays in your chicken the entire time you're roasting it. That way you can monitor the temperature real time without having to open up the oven and constantly check it. So that's, I think, pretty important item number one. You don't need it, but it's sure going to ensure you have better results with your roasted chicken. So get yourself a good digital thermometer. And if you don't have one that has the remote probe, that's fine. You can do it the good old-fashioned way and just pop the oven open and check it when you think it's getting to be about time. But the other thing you need is some sort of a roasting pan, of course, and then some sort of a roasting rack or a substitute for a rack. Now, you don't even need a full-blown official roasting pan. Just for fun, just to try it, the other day I made a chicken in a baking dish, and I didn't have a rack that would fit that baking dish, so I just took a length of tinfoil, rolled the tinfoil up, made it in the shape of a coil, and I set the chicken on top of that, and I used that as a rack. So you don't even need a real rack. In fact, another really great thing you can do instead of a rack for roasted chicken is vegetables. Lay down some celery ribs, lay down some carrots, put some potatoes down there if you want to, and you can set your chicken right on top of the veg, and it will serve as a roasting rack. And the double bonus there is not only is it a great roasting rack, but the drippings from the chicken, the vegetables will make a great sauce base if you want to go that route. Okay, so you need a roasting pan, you need some sort of a rack or improvised rack system, and I really think to do your best roasted chicken, you should grab a thermometer. And again, you're going to use that for tons of stuff, so it's really an investment. And, you know, for $20, you can get a totally serviceable one that's going to serve you a long time. So here's my method for a roasted chicken, and this is really, there's a little bit to it, but I don't think it's any more complicated than making like a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese, okay? Just might take a little bit longer in the oven. So again, to get this recipe, head over to kitchencounterpodcast.com/45 and you can get the recipe there. But here's the basics, okay? Most chicken that you buy, whole fryers or whole chickens in the store, will have the giblets inside the cavity of the chicken. So go ahead and remove those. Unless you're going to use those, you can toss them or, you know, you use them as you see fit. But I typically don't. So remove the giblets. And then what I like to do is a couple of things. Inside that chicken, in the cavity, I like to give it a really, really big dose of salt and black pepper all the way around in there. And then what I like to do is I like to stuff the cavity for a couple of reasons. One, it'll prevent or minimize air circulation in the cavity, and you won't have to truss your chicken where you tie the legs together and all that. And it's also which will prevent it from drying out, and it will also add a ton of flavor to the chicken, because what we're going to put in there, aside from the salt and pepper, is going to add some savory, some aromatics. And what I like to put in there is a whole lemon that's been cut in half, 4, 5, 6, however many you want, really, of peeled garlic cloves. And then maybe, I don't know, 10 or 12 sprigs of fresh thyme. So you put that all in the cavity, it'll all fit. You're just going to kind of jam it in there. And then on the outside of the chicken, really all you need is another liberal coating of salt and pepper. Now, a lot of folks will tell you to put butter on the chicken or under the skin. I don't mess around with any of that. And my chicken turns out perfectly juicy with a really nice crispy skin. One thing I like to do is add maybe some dried herbs to my salt and pepper rub. So maybe you throw some dried sage, some dried thyme, some dried parsley, you mix it up with the salt and pepper and give that bird a really good rub down on the outside. All right, now that was absolutely the hardest thing you had to do to prepare this roasted chicken. Now all you need to do is simply throw it on a rack or your veg in the pan in a preheated 400 degree oven for, you know, depending on your oven temperature, depending on the size of the bird, it's about 15 or 20 minutes per pound. So if you've got a 3 pound bird, figure it out, right? You don't need to baste it. You don't need to mess with the bird at all. In fact, basting is a complete waste of time. It's not going to do anything for you, but make your skin soggy and lower the cooking temperature of the oven because you're constantly opening the oven door. So just leave it in there. Don't mess with it. When it's about time you think that it should be getting done, go ahead and check the temperature. Just go ahead and stick your thermometer in the thickest part of the breast, and you're going to want to pull that bird out somewhere between, you know, 160 and 165. 165 is the recommended cooking temperature for chicken, okay? Now, if you have that remote temperature probe in there, you're going to watch it the entire time, and as soon as it gets to the temperature, you just pull it out of the oven. Now, when you pull it out of the oven, you let it rest for 20 minutes or so, and you tent it with a little bit of aluminum foil. And what happens is, let's say you pull it out at 165, and you tent it and let it rest, it's probably going to still, it's going to cook over. So it's probably going to go up to 168, 169, 170 maybe. So you're not going to have any food safety issues. And it's going to rest. The juice is going to kind of settle in the bird, so it's not going to run all over your cutting board when you go to carve it. And that's it. You're done. You're ready to serve after that. It's really easy. And, you know, when your chicken's in the oven, you're making your side dishes. It's really the easiest way I know how to make a really, really delicious chicken. Now, to carve the chicken, to get the most meat out of it, you can do a couple of things. You can just kind of pick meat right off the chicken and serve it that way. I kind of prefer to remove the breasts. Then I like to remove the legs and the thighs, the wings. There's a way to break down a chicken to kind of maximize how much chicken you get off of the bird and how much you leave behind. I'm going to find a good YouTube video that kind of shows how to do that. And again, at the show notes at kitchencounterpodcast.com/45. So that'll help you there. But it's just really simple. Again, you just need a pan, some sort of a rack. You throw a few ingredients inside the bird. You rub the outside of the bird, and you just let it roast to perfectly crispy brown glory in the oven for an hour or a little bit more if your bird's a little bit bigger. And now you've got a meal that might be two or three meals, depending on the size of your family. And you're going to save money at the supermarket because you're stretching that bird a long way. And you're cooking things ahead of time. So you do that on a Sunday. You've got weeknight meals that you can make up because you've already cooked your protein. And then I might mention one more thing about roasting a chicken is not a lot of people do it anymore. And it's really an impressive presentation. So if you're trying to impress a special someone in your life, just your significant other, your spouse, friends, roast a chicken. It looks fantastic. Okay, that's my roasted chicken rant. I hope that was helpful to you. Again, kitchencounterpodcast.com/45 for the recipe and the show notes. Hey, if you make one, send me a photo. I'd love to see it. Let me know if you have any special recipes or spice rubs or tips or tricks for roasting the perfect chicken. All right, folks, that does it again for another episode of the KitchenCounterPodcast.com. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. Hey, tell your friends about the show if you would do me a giant favor. And I do have one other bit of interesting kind of fun news is the show is featured right now at the front page of iTunes under their Let's Eat section. That's kind of fun. I've never been featured on iTunes, and it's not really a feature. It's not like I'm on the front, but I'm pretty darn close. So that was exciting to see. So thank you for downloading and listening and helping me get there. I really appreciate it. So again, if you want to send me an email, feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com, remember to send me your holiday cooking and food memories before December 25th to enter that Spice Madam spice giveaway. That's going to be pretty awesome. Remember to check out the Portland Kitchen Kickstarter. Thank you very much for that. And remember to have a wonderful, fantastic holiday season with lots of laughter, love, family, and friends. I'm Roger with the Kitchen Counter Podcast, and until next time, happy cooking.